Hello, welcome to Press Any Button.
Are you ready to sound off, Nikki?
Oh yeah, Eric. Hit it.
I don't know what I've been told.
I don't know what I've been told.
But General Chaos is pretty old.
General Chaos is pretty old. Playing on Sega Genesis.
We are going to finish this.
Yeah. Oh, man. Sign us up for the Army right now. We're ready to go.
That's all you have to do if you want to be in the military service. Yeah.
And, oh, yeah. I'm Nikki.
I'm Eric.
I guess we can go ahead and get today's podcast episode started, huh?
Yeah.
Since we did our sweet, sweet Army song.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah. I think. Totally like we're just in the Army.
Mm-hmm.
For reals. So, Eric, what game are we talking about today?
Is it General Chaos?
I mean, you picked it.
Yeah,
so,
I think it is.
For anyone who doesn't know, General Chaos is a 1993 satirical arcade slash strategy game developed by Game Refuge and published by EA, Electronic Arts, for Sega Genesis. The game has both single-player and multiplayer campaigns, which consists of a series of battles fought over a dynamic map between General Chaos and General Havoc. Dun, dun, dun. The objective of this game is to capture the enemy's capital city by progressively winning battles.
Yeah.
Wow.
Good intro.
So much going on in this little tiny game.
So much drama in this game.
That is true. A lot of drama.
And we'll get into that right now.
Ooh. So, Eric, I have to ask, why did you pick this game?
So I grew up with this game. This was a childhood favorite of mine.
Ah, classic, yeah. Eric versus Austin scenario.
Yeah,
huh?
Well, no, this was one of the games I could play with Austin. So
oh,
it was like a great co-op game.
So that's you didn't have to worry about him kicking your booty?
Exactly. I always preferred like co-op style multiplayer games.
It's because Austin always beat you?
You know, maybe a little bit.
Kind of like how I feel when I play with you. It's like, I'd rather do a co-op game because if it's me against you,
yeah,
chances are, unless it's like a word game or something, you're winning.
Yeah, I just always like the...
I hate to admit it, but...
I just like always like the idea of working towards a combined objective.
Yeah,
like putting your strengths together and your skills together.
Yeah, with our powers combined.
Yeah,
we
and summon Captain
save
Planet.
Save the planet.
But, okay, so you ready to hear about the past?
Oh, yeah. Does this have a crazy history?
I think so.
All right, let's get into it.
Okay, so General Chaos was designed by artist Brian Collins and programmer Jeff Nauman.
Ooh.
Brian and Jeff are also co-founders of Game Refuge, which is the development company that made General Chaos.
Yeah, cool.
So they're like the two like kind of main guys we're going to focus on.
Nice.
So I didn't do this on purpose, but this is the third game of the season where the story starts at Midway.
Okay.
Yeah, and in case you don't know, Midway, you know, they made arcade classics like Mortal Kombat, NBA Jam mm-hmm. back in the day.
Yeah.
So Brian Collin joined Midway, or Bally Midway as it was called at the time, in the early 1980s
wow.
as an artist and animator.
Before we were even born.
Yeah.
So long, long ago.
Very long time ago. So some of the early games that Collin worked on were Cosmic Cruiser 1982, Discs of Tron 1983, Spy Hunter 1983, and Zwackery in 1984. And Zwackery being the first game he was given a design credit for.
Ooh. So a lot of early 80s games.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Like he was an OG, like original.
So have you played any of those games?
No, definitely not.
Yeah, unfortunately I haven't played any of them either.
Maybe we'll have to do one episode.
I think we will get into some that maybe you've played. So in 1985, Brian designed and animated an arcade game called Sarge, which is a multi-directional shooter where players could switch between controlling a tank and a helicopter. This was the first game Brian made start to finish with programmer Jeff Nauman. And that would be the foundation of a long collaborative partnership between the two.
So do they always do like military kind of games?
Oh, no, no. Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, it just seems like the first one was military. This one is military.
Yeah, that's just a coincidence.
Okay. That's good. Or you maybe don't want to pigeonhole yourself and yeah. only doing like war games.
Yeah, that'd exactly. be boring. So in 1986, which is a really good year.
That was a great year.
Brian and Jeff collaborated to make the arcade classic Rampage.
Ooh.
Have you heard of or played Rampage?
I don't know if I've played it. I've definitely heard of it. Sounds familiar.
Yeah, the basic concept of Rampage is you're like this giant monster and you're destroying a city.
Okay.
So you can like
Godzilla.
Yeah. So you can choose between like a giant gorilla, a giant lizard, or a giant wolf. And yeah, you're trying to do as much damage and destroy as many buildings before the military kind of comes in and defeats you.
That sounds kind of fun, actually.
Yeah, so you never played Rampage?
No, have you?
Yeah, yeah, it's a great game.
At an arcade, or did you play it at someone's house? Did you own the game?
I played... this is bad. I don't think I played the original Rampage. I played Rampage World Tour.
Okay.
For the Nintendo 64 when it came out.
Okay.
Which is like a remake.
Gotcha.
It's also a really unique game for the time, especially with the graphics depicting the destruction of buildings and the fact that you could eat people while playing as monsters. So it's kind of nice.
That sounds really fun, actually.
Yeah. That's kind of like one of their biggest name games that I think a lot of people would recognize them from. But yeah, Brian and Jeff would continue collaborating on games at Midway like Xenophobe, Pigskin, 621 AD, and Arch Rivals in 1989. Arch Rivals was a basketball game that is considered the forerunner to the NBA Jam series.
Wow.
So kind of like a fighting style basketball game.
So they've been doing video games for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're like OG video game designers, basically.
Yeah. They've been making arcade games for a long time.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Probably like grandpas now. Maybe great grandpas even.
I don't know. Yeah. Okay. So Brian and Jeff left Midway in 1992. Basically, the gist of it was that Midway was dragging their feet when it came to renewing their contracts. They had already both been working out of their homes in Illinois ever since the company had moved their office to Silicon Valley. So that's when they decided to start their own independent game development studio, Game Refuge. So yeah, these guys were working from home in the early 90s.
Nice.
Yeah.
Original remote workers paving the way for us all. That sounds really cool. So there's two guys that work together and they're like wanted to go off and do their own thing.
Yeah.
So they made their own company.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like that's how a lot of these indie companies get started. You know, it's just like a couple of guys who used to work for some big company like EA or Ubisoft or something. They're like want to do their own project. So they're like, why not?
Yeah.
Just start our own gaming company.
I think what it is like they already know how to do all the stuff from start to finish. So it's like, well, why don't we just do this by ourselves?
Exactly. And then you get the creative freedom to do games that you actually want to do.
Yeah.
Sounds like a win-win.
So after severing ties with Midway, Brian and Jeff went to talk to the people at EA where they pitched them the idea for General Chaos. Brian recalls that EA wanted to change it from a war game to a gang war game.
What's the difference? Like,
Having,
one would be in a city?
Yeah, like having like gangs? I don't know. Yeah.
Man, you're talking about like video games already have a bad rap, right? Like promoting violence. Yeah, let's be a bunch of gang members. Like, I mean, I don't really know if that's any worse than being on like an army, really. Yeah. If you really think about it, break it down. But that's kind of funny that they wanted to go in that direction.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of strange too. But ultimately, they did agree to their pitch and struck a 3-game deal with EA.
Ooh, so, 3 games.
Yeah.
But there was never a General Chaos sequel or anything,
well,
right?
We'll get into that.
Okay.
Okay, so Brian said in an interview that the General Chaos development experience was exhilarating and liberating. Jeff and I live about 60 miles apart, but years of working together enabled us to make the most of our limited FaceTime, usually at a Hooters halfway between our offices.
That's funny.
And he said, and the work itself was so much fun, I came awfully close to feeling guilty about it at times. The game took off, we hired a few people, and got busy on the next couple of projects.
that's awesome though. Like, I mean, isn't that the ultimate goal? Like that your work doesn't feel like work.
Yeah.
And that's what everyone really wants, I think.
Yeah. I also found another great quote from the instruction manual from General Gas itself. there's a little artist bio in that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the quote is, most days, award-winning animator Brian Collins leaps from his bed at the crack of noon, ready to tax his already overactive imagination and the mind-numbing world of game design. A firm believer in minimal sweat, he has been known to leave Halloween decorations up until Groundhog's Day.
It sounds like you, Eric.
Yeah, you know.
You and Brian are like soulmates.
That's my lost soulmate right here.
If you could go to work at noon, oh my God, that'd be like your perfect job. And then also getting to be creative. That probably would be your dream job.
I think that's one of the reasons why I like this game so much growing up.
Because you connect with the creators.
Yeah.
Like, oh, they're my bros.
So General Chaos released in 1993 and received generally positive reviews, with critics praising its humor and four-player multiplayer options.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting. People had totally different perspectives back then about games, huh?
You're also thinking this is 1993, so, you know.
That's true.
I will say there weren't a lot of games like this at the time. It was okay. A very unique game.
Gotcha.
All right. You ready for some fun facts?
Oh, yeah. Fun facts.
I got four of them for you.
Four?
Yeah.
Holy moly. That's a lot of fun facts coming at me.
This first fun fact is almost more of a Rampage fun fact, but it still involves both Brian and Jeff, so I think it applies.
Okay.
So Rampage has an opening cut scene where it shows pictures of what the three humans looked like before they mutated into giant monsters. Brian Collins' photo is next to George with the headline, "Experimental Vitamin Has Ill Effects." Brian's wife, Ray's photo is next to Lizzie with the headline, "Woman finds lake to be radioactive." And Jeff Nauman's photo is next to Ralph with the headline, "Unusual food additive may be recalled." So, yeah. So basically, if you want to see what they look like in real life, you can see their photos in that game.
In Rampage.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's Brian, there's Brian's wife, Ray, and then there's Jeff Nauman.
Does Ray, is she involved in the designing or like anything?
Not
or do
that,
you just want to put her in there because, you know, it's his wife?
Not that I know of.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I feel like a lot of games we've learned about where it's back in the 80s and stuff or early 90s, there's a lot of, like, couples that did design video games together, which is kind of cool. So you never know.
Yeah, I think of Ken and Roberta Williams or something like
that.
Okay, so fun fact number two. So after the success of General Chaos, Game Refuge started working on the sequel that would be called General Chaos Major Snafu.
Major Snafu?
Yeah.
Oh my God. That sounds lame. I'm not even going to lie.
So according to Brian, it was about halfway complete when it got put on hold so they could work on an arcade game for Electronic Arts instead. Basically, EA said, "We want you to do this arcade game for our arcade division."
And that takes precedence over the sequel.
Yeah. Basically, after that, Major Snafu kept getting pushed aside for other opportunities and never saw a release.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Hey, maybe 2023 is the year for General Chaos 2. Going to be released on PlayStation 5.
All right. So fun fact number three, and I feel like this is more of a sad fact than a fun fact. There was another attempt to make a sequel in 2013 that was going to be called General Chaos 2, Sons of Chaos.
That sounds awesome. Like Sons of Anarchy.
This basically was a Kickstarter.
Of course it was.
Started by Brian Collin in order to raise the funds needed to make the game. They had a goal of raising $125,000, and unfortunately, it only managed to raise around $16,000.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Which, that's not even close.
Yeah, it came well short.
It was 20 years later, so.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Because yeah, 2003, 2013.
I don't 2013. Know how much publicity that Kickstarter campaign got.
I know, because they should try it again. They should,
yeah,
they
I never,
probably get more publicity now.
Yeah, I never heard about it back in the day.
Also, do you really need $100,000 to make a game?
Yeah.
You could probably do it for cheaper, I feel like.
I don't know about that. You know, you have to like eat and
compromise.
Stuff.
Compromises, okay. Just kidding. But
and you have to pay.
So do
people.
You think there will ever be a General Chaos sequel?
Well, we'll get into that when we talk about the future.
Foreshadowing.
So fun fact number four. I know you came up with some ideas of what some of the characters' names might be. I was going to say, disappointingly, none of the characters are named Chad.
Damn it. What about Brad?
No Brad. In fact, they don't really have names. They really only have class names.
Oh, man.
I agree. I think they should have had real people names. But
they're all named Chad.
I'll give you the name. Their class names, though. There's Gunner, Launcher, Chucker, Scorcher, and Blaster.
Yeah.
Can you guess which character is which?
No, definitely not.
So, yeah, Gunner's the machine gun guy.
Oh, well, yeah. Launcher. Sorry, I thought you meant, like, okay. Which character, like, which soldier was with which.
Okay, so you want to take a guess on for each of them? So I'll go over the names again. We have Gunner, Launcher, Chucker, Scorcher, and Blaster.
Okay, well, Scorcher got to be flame-throwing gun,
yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Blaster's got to be the missile launcher thing.
The bazooka?
Yeah.
Nope, that's wrong.
What?
Yeah.
Okay, launcher has got to be dynamite, right?
No.
Oh, man. Gunner's got to be machine gun.
Yeah, Gunner's a machine
gun. Okay. I got one. I got two out of five or six of them.
What about Chucker?
Chucker. TNT?
No.
Oh, wait. Is dynamite and TNT the same thing?
Yeah.
Grenade?
Yeah.
All right. Chucker's grenade. Okay, you just go through them.
Okay, yeah.
This is really confusing.
Gunner's the machine gun guy. And this is how me and my brother would refer to him. Gunner's the machine gun guy. Launcher's the bazooka guy. Chucker's the grenade guy. And fun additional fun fact, the Chucker is a reference to Chuck Norris with his beard and handband.
I told you that dude looked like Chuck Norris.
Yeah, he did.
He looks just like him. I didn't even know Chuck Norris was popular in 1993.
Apparently it was. Scorcher is the flamethrower guy, and Blaster is the dynamite guy.
I feel like Blaster and Launcher should be switched.
Yeah, I don't know.
The bazooka? What are you launching? I don't know.
Launching the little bazooka missiles. RPGs.
I mean, you're shooting them. I don't know. It's a stretch, okay?
All right.
They should have all been named Chad.
They should all be named Chad and Brad.
Chad 1 through 5. You got Chad 1, Chad 2, Chad 3.
And Chad 4, and then Brad.
And then Brad, yeah. Be great.
All right. So, yeah, that's my fun facts. That's my history.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you were able to find so much info on this game because it's, like, really old.
Yeah, actually, their website actually had a pretty good amount of stuff
on EA.
No, they're GameRefuge.com.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
It's crazy how many games EA has touched. Like, man, they, like, without EA, I mean, I know they have a lot of controversy around them, like, occasionally, but
yeah,
without them, a lot of games would not be here. You know?
They were a pretty major publisher back in the day. Yeah. And I feel like they used to be cooler than they are. I don't know.
Yeah. So, Eric, you used to play this game with your brother a lot?
Oh, yeah.
Did you ever play with anyone else? Did your dad ever jump in or
no.
anything like that?
No. Nope.
Did you play with any other friends or just you and your brother?
I think I only ever played this game with Austin.
Wow. And now me.
So there is a story to this game.
What? Well, yeah, there's a war going on.
In fact, I mean, I think you got most of the gist of it because the story is loosely told in the instruction pamphlet as a comic, which I was showing you earlier.
Yeah, that comic in the instruction manual was really cool, actually. So yeah. It's like two brothers, right?
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah.
General Chaos and General Havoc.
Yeah, they actually start off as brothers.
Well, they end as brothers.
Yeah, I mean,
you never get to not be brothers once you're brothers.
Yeah, and the story is like one day Chaos discovers a rare and valuable comic book. So the name of the comic book was huge, muscular, destructive, heavily armed, frequently exploding combat warriors in battle.
First of all, whoever named that, they need to take a class on how to simplify things. That is too many words in a title for a comic book. No one's going to remember that title.
But yeah, so they end up ripping that in half, and they both blamed each other for ripping it in half.
So sad.
Yeah. Years later, they both happened to become military dictators of rival countries.
Coincidence? I think not.
Chaos is the dictator of Moronica.
Yeah, I get it.
Sorry. And Havoc is the dictator of Viceria.
Well, what's Viceria?
Like
though?
Vice, I guess. I
think, it's like, not as cool as Moronica.
Yeah, not as cool as Moronica.
Should have been like Idiot Field or something. Idiot Tonya or something. I don't know.
The two spend decades warring with one another, but neither can achieve victory. After days of consideration, they come to the decision to use smaller, quicker armies of soldiers, all specializing in particular kinds of weapons, to settle the score permanently.
Yeah, that's how real war works, right?
Yeah.
I'm sure the U.S. would be like, let's just use limited amounts of weapons. And all these weapons we spent millions and billions of dollars on, we'll just set those aside.
We'll just say 5v5.
Yeah. 5 versus 5. And you know what? For extra measure and extra just showing that we're good people, whenever people want to just fight each other, we'll all stop and watch.
Yeah.
And not keep shooting each other.
And any grenades or dynamite that happen to be out there.
Yeah. But once a fight starts, no more action until the fight ends.
You got to stop. All right. So you want to do some pros and cons?
Oh, yeah. I will say, like, what we were just talking about, like, it's so ridiculous. I like that this game has, like, shooting and your weapons and stuff, but you also have your close combat sessions. But it is ridiculous that everything else stops around you while you're fighting. Like, it's the most unrealistic thing ever. It's kind of like in a movie when they're doing a group fight and it's like all the enemies wait for their turn. In what world do they not just all jump you? Like, no world does that happen. It's so ridiculous.
But yeah. I like the humor a lot as well. I feel like the violence is on par with Looney Tunes.
It just, there's no blood or anything. It's just kind of silly.
Yeah, just being silly.
Oh, yeah. Like, I have the It's Funny as one of my pros, too.
Yeah. It's like you hit someone with a bazooka and they instantly turn into a skeleton.
Oh, my gosh. And then you can just keep shooting them even after they're dead, and then they just turn into a skeleton and then they just disintegrate.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's so funny to me that the skeleton part, I don't know what it is. It's like in Home Alone and Home Alone 2 or whatever, when Marv's getting electrocuted and there's that one frame where he's like a skeleton.
Yeah.
It's the best. I don't know. It's just
instant
hilarious.
Comedy.
Yeah. It's like classic comedy right there.
Oh, another one of the funny bits is like if you get into a fist fight, you know, and you do too many of the same types of moves, the enemy soldier will just like kind of fall over and pull out a gun and shoot you.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, quit being cheap.
Oh, also, you can give a cheap nutsack punch.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah,
that's an option for one of the moves. And I'm like, yeah, nutsack punch. But then you can't, we'll get into it with strategy, but you can't do it too many times.
Yeah. Or they'll just fall over and pull out a gun and shoot you.
Yeah. Not cool.
but it's also just kind of satirizing other army games with just the over the top characters.
Yeah, actually, my second pro is like, this game's over the top. Everything about us over the top. The characters are over the top. The cutscenes, like, I love the animation for these characters. And it's like the main General Chaos guy reminds me of Lex Ryan for some reason, which I'm not even a football person. And literally, I don't even know hardly any football coaches or anything. But this guy, you know, he's got a memorable face. And his smile is so huge. But yeah, for some reason, General Chaos reminds me of Rex Ryan.
Rex Ryan, yeah. If they're ever casting that movie.
Oh my gosh. Oh my god, that would be so funny. Actually, if there's ever a movie that I would want Leslie, what's his name?
Nielsen?
Yeah, Leslie Nielsen to come back for.
Oh, man.
Oh, my gosh.
For sure. One of the things I really liked was the multiplayer options. So back in the day, there were not a lot of good multiplayer games or even much variety in the types of multiplayer games that existed.
So 1993, other than arcade games, because there was a ton of arcade games.
Yeah, the arcade games were better for multiplayer stuff, but like console games.
But at home,
yeah, there just weren't a lot of co-op games. Ones. You know, you had one-on-one fighters, you had beat-em-ups, you had side-scrolling shooters like, you know, you're in a plane or something, and platformers where you could usually have to take turns. So yeah, not only was General Chaos a different genre than most multiplayer games, being a real-time tactics game, it was also one of the few games where the co-op mode was better than its single player. So you had like motivation for wanting to play with a friend or family member.
Oh my gosh, I definitely agree.
Yeah, and so back when I was a kid, I would love any chance I could get to team up with my older brother and play a game where we're basically on the same team.
Yeah.
It also has a four-player option, but we never had like a multi-tap thing for the Sega Genesis, so I never got to try it out.
Yeah, so it's like the regular Sega Genesis only has
like two inputs.
Two inputs for two controllers.
Yeah.
So if you want to play with four, you have to get a special adapter.
Yeah.
So that you can turn each one of those into two, and we don't have that adapter, unfortunately.
Nope.
I do want to play four-player mode. I feel like that would make it way easier, because like in co-op mode, you still have to control two players. And then in single player mode, you're either controlling two players by yourself or five players by yourself, which gets hard.
Yeah, it's a little challenging. It's tough to coordinate all those characters by yourself.
Yeah. I like that there's a variety of weapons in this game, even though like it's 1993. You still have like three different long range weapons and two short range weapons.
Oh, really?
Like I would say, right? Because the
machine gun, I would say medium.
Oh, you think that's medium? I thought machine gun and fire thrower or flamethrower were like shorter range.
I would say the dynamite is definitely short range.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you've got like short range, medium range, long range weapons, which is kind of cool. I guess I was thinking more of just short range and long range, but I see what you're saying with the dynamite. Yeah, you can't really throw it that far, so that is more of a short range. And then like the grenades are kind of similar to the dynamite, I think.
Yeah,
the guy might can go a little bit longer, but
not too much.
Yeah, not that much. And then you got bazooka, which can go the furthest.
Yeah, it's weird because the bazooka is almost like a sniper rifle in this game.
And then the flamethrower and the machine gun are, I think, they're kind of equal range,
machine gun has much more range than the flamethrower. Okay. Yeah, I'd say
I got it all wrong.
Hey, no worries.
But it is cool that you have like a variety of weapons and it's not just all like machine guns.
Yeah, and they're all pretty different strategies to use the different weapons too.
Yeah, I think the flamethrower is probably my favorite.
Yeah, flamethrower is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
The best thing is when they're all grouped up and you can get like four or five guys on fire at the same time. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's like, burn, baby, burn. It's like, if there's ever a zombie apocalypse, I want the flamethrower. Watch out, everybody.
I don't know. Zombies can't feel pain and then they're just on fire after you put it. So I don't know if that's a...
Hey, don't ruin my fantasy, okay?
Sorry. I feel like the difficulty ramps up at a pretty good rate. So, like, the first campaign is, like, pretty easy. Second one's a little bit tougher. And by the time you get to the third, it's actually pretty difficult.
It's pretty difficult, yeah.
So, I feel like the difficulty curve is actually really good on this game.
Oh, yeah. This game is definitely more fun in a group than playing by yourself.
Yeah.
Like, if you're playing, this is a party game, I would say, or a game that you definitely want to play with like a group of friends.
I agree. Yeah.
Over playing by yourself.
Yeah.
The solo single mode for this game is just really crappy.
We'll talk about that in a minute.
Yeah.
I'm not.
If you want to transition,
I'm not done singing his praises yet.
Okay.
Another thing I liked is the number of maps. So there are over 50 unique maps in this game, and each of the three campaigns have completely different maps from each other. And once you play a map, that map is marked off and you don't ever repeat maps in the same game,
mm-hmm.
which is really nice. And my final one are the bonus objectives. Sometimes you'll get like a bonus objective in a map, like destroy a vehicle or structure or something. And I think it's
nice destroy their water supply.
Yeah, I think it's a nice way to kind of add some variety.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Gives you a little something extra to try for instead of just killing all the people.
Yeah. So what's one of your cons, Nikki?
Well, first of all, I got a little bit ahead of myself, I guess. But the single player mode is really bad.
Yeah.
Like, compared to the multiplayer mode, like, multiplayer mode is very intuitive. It feels like your normal, like, console game setup. Single player mode, to me, feels like it was almost more designed if you were playing on a PC and you had a mouse.
Yeah.
Than if you're playing with Sega Genesis and you have, like, this big bulky controller, you know?
The main difference is almost entirely in how the game controls.
And it doesn't really make sense to me why they couldn't just keep the mechanics the same and you just switch through more players, like, the same way than having this weird cursor thing where you're like, go in this direction, player. So in, like, multiplayer mode, you press C and you can alternate through your two players and you move them around with the D-pad like a normal game.
Yeah.
In single player mode, why couldn't they just do that? I don't understand. Well, they had this weird cursor thing. So instead of switching through players and being able to move them with the D-pad, like, the D-pad almost is pointless unless you're moving the cursor around.
Oh yeah, you're using the D-pad to use the cursor, and that's just awkward.
It just makes no sense.
Any game where you're using the D-pad to move a cursor, it always feels awkward.
Yeah, it's just weird, and it's like they already have the mechanics set up in multiplayer mode where you can just switch through and move your player around like normal, but for some reason in single player mode they were like, no, that won't work.
Yeah.
That'll be too confusing. Let's add a weird cursor thing and, like, have your players be able to walk in this direction. And then, like, I don't really understand what they're thinking.
But you can have that control scheme if you choose the option where you only have two players, two characters. So you can either choose a group of five where you use the cursor, or you can just choose two where you control them, like, individually.
Yeah, so it's like, what happened? Maybe it was something with the computer power, like the computer capabilities back then and stuff. But, like, why couldn't you still just switch through the five players like you do the two players?
Yeah,
why did it have to be a totally different mechanic, totally different learning curve? Like, to me, it just kind of changes the whole game into, like, a totally different thing.
Yeah, to me, they should have just made an option where you could switch between the control scheme that you prefer.
Yeah, I agree. It really doesn't make sense. It's almost like they designed it to be on the PC for the single player mode, but on a console for the multiplayer mode. And it's like, this game wasn't released on PC ever. So I don't know. It just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, I agree with you. So one of the cons I had was, sometimes your guys will just randomly fall down for almost no reason.
Oh my gosh, for real. And then it takes forever to get back up so you can move to a different location.
It kind of falls into, like, the cartoony side. And it is a little bit funny, but yeah. So if you're, like, walking over mud or ice or trying to jump over, like, sandbags or a fence, sometimes you'll just trip and fall over.
You'll just trip. It's too realistic, okay?
It just feels like it happens a little bit too much.
Yeah. Like, for me, I didn't find this game very easy to pick up as someone who is more new to games like this and hasn't played a lot of the old games from the 90s, and I never had a Sega or anything like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess I did okay playing.
You had the option of going through boot camp, but you chose to not do it.
Well, okay. I'm sorry. If I cannot learn your game while I'm playing it and I need a special tutorial to learn, it's not a good game, in my opinion. Like, make it where I can learn as I go. I don't want to do a whole separate thing. I mean, we all know my opinions on tutorials at this point. But
I feel like the tutorial's pretty funny with this game.
I'm just like, I just want to be able to jump right in and play, you know?
Yeah, I know.
And for me, this is not one where you can just jump right in and automatically know what you're doing. I mean, it takes a while to kind of learn the mechanics of everything. And I don't know, I was really bad at this game. I thought it was kind of hard.
Yeah. So one of the things I didn't like is sometimes the troops you're controlling just won't face the right direction.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
So how it works is
because you don't get to control where you aim. It's just like an automatic thing.
Yeah. So yeah, your troops will automatically fire towards the closest target when you tell them to fire their weapons.
Sometimes they shoot towards the closest target. Sometimes they just shoot in some random weird ass direction.
That is like, true.
What are you even aiming at, dude?
But yeah, it makes sense when you're trying to control like the five soldiers all at the same time using the cursor. It's kind of like a necessity at that point. But when you have individual control over a soldier and you can't get them to turn in the direction that you want, it can be extremely frustrating.
Oh yeah, super frustrating.
It's like I got
it's
a whole.
Like, why are you? I'm right next to this dude. Why are you shooting to nothing it's over like, on the
yeah,
other
why
side?
Why are you trying to shoot this guy who's already on the ground?
It's like, oh, the joys of playing a game from 1993. It's like, we're so spoiled now.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't have to deal with any of that crap, but sometimes it's fun to torture yourself, I guess.
Yeah.
And something else that I thought was kind of lame is like, the music could have been better.
Yeah,
like they only play music during like the cutscenes.
It's like two songs, I think, right? Two or three songs.
Yeah, and then while you're battling, it's mostly just like grunts and
yeah,
stuff
just sound
from
effects.
The players.
Just grunts.
They don't even, you know, it's like, they're getting shot and all this stuff. It's like, why not just have a little bit of music still playing? I don't know
yeah.
if that's just the capabilities of the Sega console
no,
or
Sega
if they were just
been.
Didn't
well,
think about it or what.
Yeah, I agree. It could be, it could use a little bit of like some jams going on, some hard rock.
Yeah, some hard rock. Some electric guitar.
So, yeah, one of the things I wasn't a huge fan of were just like the fights. Just
oh my God, I hate the fights. It's just like, I get why they're trying to like
yeah.
change it up and do something fresh and different. But the fighting, if you're going to have the fighting, make it good. Like, it could have been way better. Like, Mortal Kombat was already out by this point. So, like, we know they could have made the mechanics for fighting better.
So, yeah, just to give you an idea of how it works, if two enemy soldiers get really close to one another, they'll just, like, a little, like, smoke thing will come up.
Yeah, like a dirt cloud.
Yeah, dirt cloud. Everyone else will freeze. Like, any grenades or dynamite that have been thrown before that point, they'll still be alive, but you can't move any of the other troops, so
yeah.
they'll just get hurt by it. Then you have a one-on-one fight between the two soldiers where it feels like it just takes way too long and it happens way too often.
Yeah, and it's like, in what world, when you're in war, does everyone just freeze to watch two guys fight, fist fight? Like, never, ever.
Yeah.
Not that this is trying to be the most realistic game in the world, but still, it's just like, it's super boring when it's not you fighting. You're just like, okay, let me sit here and I guess root my pal on.
Yeah,
like,
I
don't know. What else do you do?
Yeah, I try to avoid them just because they're not that much fun.
Me too. I didn't enjoy the fighting, fights that much.
Yeah, fights in the first campaign are like pretty easy. But by the second time, the second campaign, they're much harder. I'd say it's like closer to 50-50.
And in the third campaign, you might as well forget
it. Yeah, third campaign, they're almost impossible.
You're not winning that fight.
Yeah, it's like every now and then the game will let you win one. But
yeah, if you're lucky.
Yeah, sometimes.
If you block. I feel like blocking is good, but we'll get into that. We'll get into that for strategy.
You'll see, yeah.
One last thing that I didn't really like is there's really no difference between the soldiers other than the weapon that they're using. Like, it's not like certain ones move faster or better at swimming
yeah.
or better at jumping. They're pretty much all the same. They just have different weapons.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
could have made some taller, maybe some shorter. I don't know. Maybe just varied up their stats a little bit so it wasn't like you have five clones, you know? They do make them look sort of different. Like, one looks like Chuck Norris and some don't have beards and stuff.
Yeah.
But there's really no difference as far as, like, their stats or anything go.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah, some could. That'd be cool if you had like the flamethrower guy being a little bit faster.
Yeah, maybe something. That's just like, I don't know if that's just like a 1993 thing. You know, you can't expect that for back then. But it's just like, it would have been nice to have maybe a little bit of variation, well, something else to like make you want to choose these people over these other people.
Well,
than just their weapon.
I will say they're. The damage they do is a little bit different. So they're stat
well,
different as far
the
as
weapon,
that goes.
Though.
That's true. That's related
not
to the weapon.
Not them, their height or anything.
Yeah, there's not really a lot of diversity in the characters.
Yeah. All the characters are white pretty much. So there is a few women in there, which I'm like, whoa, progressive. Like some of the cutscenes.
Oh,
women.
Yeah.
Not the actual people
yeah,
play
not,
with.
Not the soldiers,
but
like in the cutscenes. I was about to say, I'm like, yeah.
There's a couple of scenes where you have general chaos, and then it's like another leader or whatever is the woman, you know, right?
Yeah, in the background.
The short-haired blonde lady.
Any other cons?
I think that's about it for me. I think I said all the things.
All right.
I don't like this game that much.
Yeah,
I'll be honest.
I could
it's not my fave. I had a hard time making myself play this just so that I would know the game so we could talk about it and stuff. But this definitely would not be a game I would choose to just play in my free time, like if we weren't doing it for the podcast.
Yeah, I understand. The single player to me just was never that great. I always loved it as a multiplayer game.
Yeah, it wasn't. It was better playing with you, but still, I'm just really crappy at it. So, and I didn't really. Well, I don't know. I guess I did get better as we played it, but still, I don't think I really understood like all the mechanics fully. I think I was still probably making a bunch of mistakes and stuff just because I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I did have a lot of my childhood to play this game.
Yeah.
So yeah, you want to talk about strategy?
Yeah, I actually do have a little bit of strategy. I mean, I don't know if it's great strategy considering I'm not that good at this game. But I will say, like, one of the things to look out for is who has what weapons if you're doing multiplayer. I didn't realize until you told me that I was actually picking the weapons for both of us. Like, in my mind, I was picking mine, and then you were picking yours, and it was separate.
Yeah.
But it's not. So if you're first player, you're picking your weapons for you and your partner, so kind of look at both. For me, it was just making sure we didn't both have like short range weapons. You don't want to have like a grenade
usually,
and TNT at the same time. Like,
yeah,
you want to have at least one gun and one something
you
else.
You want one bazooka guy usually, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, and like I said, the bazooka is basically like the sniper in this game. It's the only weapon that can go all the way across the map.
Yeah.
But it's also the only weapon that like is affected by the obstacles like trees and sandbags and stuff.
True.
So if the enemy has a bunch of bazookas, you want to make sure that your guys have a little bit of cover.
Yeah.
To help kind of protect them from the bazooka guy.
Exactly.
Or the launcher.
Yeah, the launcher. I like bazooka guy better.
Yeah, bazooka guy rolls off the tongue really nice.
Yeah. What's a piece of strategy that you have?
So spread your troops out and try to flank.
Yes.
Grouping your units up leaves them vulnerable to grenades, dynamites, mm-hmm. and flamethrowers. So those like area effect weapons.
Amen.
Yeah. So especially if you have a group of five, if you're trying to do all five of them, you want to make sure that
they're spread out.
You want to make sure that the close range troops are close to their troops, and the long range troops stay back. So
yeah, and I actually have keep moving because I feel like if you keep moving around, then it's like they can't really aim at you as easily. But also there's a con of moving around too much because you want to like avoid the bullet lines, which is hard to do.
I was about to say it actually might not be that great of a strategy because, you know, it does make your guy like prone to falling over.
That's true. It depends on where you're moving, I guess. Where you're moving everybody around.
Yeah, don't run on ice. Try to avoid running on ice.
And don't go through any water or mud puddles or anything like
Definitely
that.
Definitely try to avoid going into the water if you can help it. Because not only is your troop kind of useless in the water. I mean, I guess they're protected in the sense they can't get hurt.
But it's so slow. It takes them so long.
It takes them so long. And if they stay in there too long, then they'll drown.
Yeah. Another thing is use your medics sparingly because when you get to the end, the other team will have like 7-8 medics left and you will have like one. And it's not great. So if there's a stronger player like with me and Eric, you would try to strategize so Eric's around last and he can just clean up and then like he doesn't have to use any medics on me. But yeah. Like
so it's also like who you choose to save, right? So yeah. Sometimes it's in your best interest to try to save like a bazooka guy or a flamethrower guy.
That's
true. Or something.
Yeah.
Or even a machine gun
or
guy.
Or the better player out of the two, like if it's your player versus my player.
Yeah. So my piece of strategy is to abuse the pause button.
Oh, if you're playing single player?
You can do it as a...
Yeah, we did watch a speed run, and that person really abused. It's almost, to me, it feels like cheating in a way.
It kind of is.
Because you're like, you found a loophole.
Yeah, so pausing the game, like, pausing the game does not make anyone invulnerable, which is kind of hilarious. So, yeah, so...
It does keep you from moving.
Yeah, it keeps everyone from moving or attacking anymore. But if someone's already thrown a grenade or a piece of dynamite, for example, those are still going to go off and hurt whoever.
Yeah, and the people can't move to avoid them.
Yeah, all you're doing is basically freezing everyone in place.
Yeah, it's kind of messed up, honestly. It does feel like cheating to me, but I get it that it's not technically cheating, although...
It's in the game.
Morally.
Morally, you're
cheating.
Come on.
You got to feel some guilt. Like, you know that that's not how it's intended to be played.
Yeah, you can abuse it all you want. Just feel bad about it later.
Yeah. Also, I try to avoid all close combat altogether, but especially in the third campaign, because you will just lose. Like, and then your player's out, you need a medic, and then,
The first campaign, it can actually be to your advantage to try to initiate those fights, just because you do have an advantage of winning them, like, in the in the first campaign. But... Yeah, as we move into the second and third, and just definitely try to avoid them.
Yeah, for sure.
And part of avoiding them, I feel like, is also paying attention to the iframes.
Mm-hmm.
Is really, you know what iframes are?
No. Okay. I was going to totally pretend like I knew. I was like, yeah, the iframes, things.
Iframes are invulnerability frames, times in the game where your character is invulnerable.
Oh, okay.
So, like, you take some damage and then...
Oh, so, like, in Mario, if you, like, got hit by a bullet, you're, like, invincible for, like, a second after that.
Yeah, we call those iframes.
Ah. Learning something new.
Yeah.
Thanks, babe.
All the soldiers, anytime they get hit, they'll have some iframes. And iframes actually last quite a while.
Hmm.
So it's your advantage. Like, if you have a soldier who's taken damage, you can run through a more dangerous area right afterwards. You can also time your attacks against the enemy's soldiers for when their iframes run out. It's also kind of important for predicting their iframes so you can avoid those close combat situations.
Yeah.
So you're not trying to burn someone who has iframes and then they run into you and then you're doing the close combat thing.
Yeah, and speaking of close combat, kind of like, I guess we kind of already mentioned it earlier, but a strategy for that is like you can't just keep doing the same move over and over.
They'll just fall over and pull out a handgun.
Yeah, you can't just try to keep punching their nuts over and over again like I tried to. Because eventually they know you're going to do that and they just shoot you.
Yeah, it's kind
of. So you have to mix it up and you have to use. I think it's helpful to use the blocking too.
Yeah.
When you're doing the combat.
You have to mix up your moves just because, like if you keep doing the same move, the game will consider it like too cheap and you'll just die. It just decides.
But you can pause and let the, people get bombed without being able to move all you want. That's not cheap.
Yeah. My final bit is that there is a damage hierarchy to pay attention to. Like, machine gun guys do the least amount of damage, while dynamite guys do the most amount of damage.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So, like, don't, like, shoot an enemy with the machine gun when he's about to get hit by an explosive.
Ooh.
So,
If you have a brain power to think about that in the moment.
Yeah.
Which I don't. I'm like, ooh, I just gotta shoot constantly. So, Eric, did you find anything about the future? Is there going to be a General Chaos 2?
It looks like there is going to be a General
Chaos
2.
No way.
So,
I tried to look up the future, and I didn't find anything.
So, I talked about how the Kickstarter...
Where are you getting this info?
So, I talked about how the Kickstarter for General Chaos 2 never reached its goal.
Uh-huh.
But there was an update on it in 2020 saying that they were going to make the game anyway.
Oh, so did they get some investors or?
I'm not sure.
Going to use their own money?
But the most recent update that I could find was November of last year, basically saying that, their small development team was still like making progress on it.
I'm curious, like, what does a 2023-2024 general chaos look like?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, what was interesting in that update is they talk about how they originally were trying to make it 3D, but they actually scrapped that idea and mm-hmm. went back to the pixel art oh. style, which to me sounds Ugh. Really cool. I love the art style in the original game.
To me, it's like, well, if it's like the original, then I don't want to play it. It needs to be updated.
Well,
the controls
see. We'll
and
see
everything
how it
like that need to be
but,
way better.
But they made a whole new engine for all that stuff, so I'm really looking forward to it. I bet it's going to be awesome.
Idea of when it might come out?
I have no clue.
Okay.
But yeah, it is a very small development team working on it.
Okay. Hey, that's no shame in that.
Yeah, I thought that was
a
cool.
A lot of good games have really small teams. So.
Yeah. So, Nikki.
So, Eric.
Did you manage to beat the second campaign either solo or in multiplayer?
Oh, yeah. I did.
How'd you
beat it? I was even a little drunk when I did it. Go me.
So, how do you do it?
Mostly with you, like with your help. And you're cheering me on, telling me, yeah, just one more fight and you're going to get your goal. I was like, okay, let's do it. And we actually beat the game today, though, on multiplayer mode. So
yeah, that was a lot of fun. You didn't go back and try on solo?
I did try it on solo. I'm really bad at it. It's too much going on all at once. And for my brain, I'm like, I honestly could not figure out what player I was moving. I know that it's highlighted, but it's delayed. And with the cursor thing, I didn't really get it that much. So I don't like the single player mode on this game. But the multiplayer mode is a lot better.
Yeah,
I'll say.
Multiplayer.
If you're gonna play this game, play it with a friend.
Yeah, find a buddy.
Yeah, don't pledge play it by yourself unless you're hardcore.
All right, Nikki, let's find out what this brand new game is going to be.
This brand new game. You know what? I was thinking, what is a game that I want to pick that Eric would have no idea what I'm going to pick? Trying to make it a surprise. But actually, I bought this game a while ago. You might remember. I assumed that all 360 games were just like you could just play them on Xbox One.
Yeah.
Like I just assumed the Xbox One could play all the 360 games. I was very wrong. And so I bought this game and I put it in the Xbox One and it's like, nope. And this is right when we just gave our Xbox 360 away to my nephew.
Yeah.
So it's been about 3 years now. I've been wanting to play this game and I finally got someone to let us borrow an Xbox 360.
Yeah,
so you probably know what game it's going to be.
I had an idea what game you were going to pick when I was setting up the 360.
Yeah.
I'm like, huh, I wonder if Nikki's finally going to pick that game.
Yeah, because there's not a lot of other games that we have where, you know, we have to have a 360 to play it.
Yeah.
But this is one of them. And it's called Naughty Bear.
Yeah.
So we're going to get naughty. Eric, have you ever played Naughty Bear before or heard of it? Other than me talking about it?
Yeah, I had me play it for like 20 minutes that one day.
Yeah, but have you heard of it before?
No.
Like before you met me or
nope.
anything like
Never
that?
Never heard of it.
Never heard of Naughty Bear.
No
okay.
idea. Yeah.
Well, we're going to play it. And your challenge is to score a total of at least 1 million naughty points, in which you will get the Millionaire Club trophy.
Okay.
I looked it up. It doesn't look super duper hard. It says like 77% of people have gotten this. So.
Okay.
I think with Disney Dreamlight Valley, I made it hard enough for you. So I felt a little bad. So I tried to make this one not that hard, but I mean, it kind of sounds hard when you think about it. Like, ooh, 1 million naughty points.
Yeah.
Ooh, what are you going to do to get those naughty points?
I guess I'm going to have to be very naughty to get all these points. God.
But yeah, I think this game is just fun because it's like, I mean, it's just pure evil. It's pure carnage.
Yeah.
Like, in the last couple of games I've chosen have been real kind of like cozy, low key, like not violent games. This is definitely a violent game, so I'm excited about it.
Yeah, I'm excited to play it.
All right. Well, until next time, everybody.
All right. Bye.
Bye.